Boker Tov, everyone. We're learning Adar Bet, the sponsors of Adar Bet, Leilui Nishmat, Tanchum Ben Chaim, Yosef Ben Yitzchak, Asher Anshel Ben Shraga Feivel, Yitzchak Ben Nachman, for the Refuah Shlema of Esther Dania Batsara, Chavi Yachel Hadas Batsara, and Leilui Nishmas Reuven Ben Avraham. A number of anonymouslys, in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in honor of the beer's year anniversary, and for a month of joy, healing, and celebration in our land, for the continued protection of our chayalim, and healing for all who need it. Amen, ken yiratzon. Amen, 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 amen. So, what we're going to be doing today, or jumping back into our sefer, on the pages in the sefer that you have, if you could open up to page Kuf Mem Gimel. Kuf Mem Gimel. You
can't see.
You can't see. Kuf Mem Gimel. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaro. I'm just inviting us all to stay focused. We have to continue learning about Geula. We have to continue learning about redemption. We have to continue to plug all of our Ritzonot, all of our wills, our wants, our davening, our dreams into a much, much, much more beautiful today, a much more beautiful tomorrow. And the only way that we go into places that are beautiful tomorrows is only through the Torah. It's all other thoughts and ideas and all other things don't, that's not our thing. Our thing is through the deeper realm of the Torah, through the Pnimius HaTorah. So we've seen before that, we've learned this before through the Ramchal, through Rav Kook, and through other Svarim, that it seems like the way Geula happens is that something happens on the outside, and then it forces me to look inwards. As I mentioned a few days ago, in one of the Shiurim preps for Purim, is that some of us have a fear that Chas V'Shalom, really, nothing really has changed with us in the last 6 months. We got a little terrified, there's a little bit of a fear, there's a little bit of an opening, a little bit of an awakening, but in terms of my mahut, my essence, nothing has really transformed. Nothing has really, really changed. I can't say that something has truly, truly changed. But the more that I listen to a cry that comes from something that may have been stimulated from the outside, it directs me more to go inwards and not ignore what my neshama, what I really, really want. Is there one person here that when you say to them, when you have some quiet and you listen to what's going on inside, is there anyone here or anywhere that would actually say, my thing is not so much geula, I'm okay with the status quo. I just want it to continue like that. Baruch Hashem, there isn't. To the best of my knowledge, there isn't. Let's now realign ourselves with the words of the tzaddikim to understand this calling. So if you go on the bottom of Kuf Mem Gimel, we're going to speak straight up about what the geula is looking like, what it looks like right now, what it's always been like, but what it's looking like really right now. Kfi shirayinu b'divrei haramchal, וכן מבואר בספרים שבחוכמה האלוקית, בירחיב בדבר הרב קוק זצל, סדר הגאולה מתחיל מן הפנים אל החוץ. גאולה starts inside and travels outside. גאולה starts in and goes out. דהיינו, אף על פי שהשלבים הראשונים שנראים לעין הם שלבי הגאולה הגופנית. Even though the first shlavim, like we've been speaking about for so long, that we can see, the first phases of redemption are something that's on the outside. And what's that? Aliyah. We're physically coming home. We've been coming home. Mikol makom koden lachen itchila geula ba'ma'amakim bi'itgabrut ha'or al ha'neshamot. But really, it may look like the beginning was just an outer movement of physically coming home. No one physically comes home unless something in their heart is telling them, or something in their soul is whispering to them just a little bit louder, it's time to go home. Then there's a physical appearance of something that happened inside. But no one just comes, no one really does that movement, just al pi mashu gufani. Something inside is whispering to us, saying, igi azman lachzor habayta. V'chach, bottom line, b'tchila mitgaber ha'or b'neshamot, in the beginning, light overcomes is basically what leads us in our souls. Now here it's where it gets tricky. That same light that got you to come home and move to Eretz Yisrael, you think it goes away? It doesn't go away. It's just an illusion that it goes away. The problem is, to answer the initial appearance of light in our soul was, don't take this the wrong way, relatively easy, because it was clear how to respond. What was the response to the initial appearance of light in our souls? Moving home. That's an initial response. So we think, check. And the soul's like, okay, no. You haven't even begun. It actually really only starts over here right now. And that's the state that we're in for many of us that are back here after responding to the first calling of the neshama. The shaila is now, ma'achshav. La'achar miken, ha'geula matchila lanua b'chitzoniyut. Beviat Yisrael el ha'aretz, ach adain or ha'geula lo hofia b'merchav ha'dat v'atfisa. But once we're back home, the light of redemption has yet to appear in the perception of dat and of the whole picture of my life. Just the fact that I'm physically somewhere, like we've said so many times, does not mean that I'm fully in a process of awareness and consciousness as to what I just did. Kol merchav tfisat hakodesh adayin banui al psisei ha'avar al madregat hagalut. This is an important line. I'm going to read it again. Kol merchav tfisat hakodesh adayin banui al psisei ha'avar. That means, to me, even once I'm back home in Eretz Yisrael, I get stuck in that my perception of what's holy is still built on exile definition of being holy. Eretz Yisrael definition of being holy is a completely different definition. Now let's unpack this a little bit. What does it mean to be holy in Galut? How would you define that? Like, what are some of the things that you would say would define a person's status of being holy when they're not in Eretz Yisrael? Don't be shy.
They go to shul.
They go to shul. What else?
It's separate from the community because they're in the Jewish community and not the Jewish.
Right. So they're
community.
Separate. So this Indian, right?
They're part of the community.
Right. That's the biggest one. Yeah. In Galut, what defined my Jewish commitment? My being separated from everything else that's there, and like Rashi says on the when he has a Perushan, what does it mean to be holy in Parashat Kedoshim? So he says, you know, Prushim, like Nifdalim, separate. So the fact that I was separate defined my holiness. That's in a state of exile. Here it gets much more tricky because the whole thing is about not being separated. It's exactly the opposite. The whole thing is Betocha Am, is like within the Am, I'm part of the people. That means that I need a new definition of what Kedusha means. I need a new definition of what holiness means for me in Eretz Yisrael. Velachen, fourth line, ha-mevukash hu pnimi ve-ne'elam me'od. Therefore, what I'm looking for when I come to Eretz Yisrael in terms of bring me Kedusha, I want to be holy, is very hidden. It's a whole different ballgame. And I think each of us could attest to this. Each of us has experienced this to a certain degree, that this longing for feeling and finding holiness in Eretz Yisrael is much, much more demanding than it is in Chutz La'aretz. Because in Chutz La'aretz, all I have to do is be separate, maintain Jewish identity, send my kids to schools that cost me about $150,000 a year, and I'll feel holy. Right? Here, yeah, I pay 150 shekel a year maybe sometimes, and it's like it's a different situation. What defines holiness is so completely hidden. It's much more hidden. And he says like this, Rav Sasson says like this in the fourth end of the fourth line. Nekudot ha-cheshek ha-nishmatiyot ne'elamot af mitoda'ato shel ha-adam u-mimachshavotav. Umotze ha'adam atzmo savuch. Savuch means I find myself complicated, lost, mesubach. Why? Ki nekudat ha'lev ha'pnimit shelo kvar einena shayechet leseder ha'chaim ha'murgalo. Because now, Rav Sasson is saying, This is very, it's very deep, but I hope you understand it. If you don't, please ask me to explain again. Rav Sasson is saying, when I come here, after my physical shlav of ge'ula has taken place, and now it's a neshamadik shlav of ge'ula, I actually find myself more detached and lost than I did when I was in Chutz Laaretz in Galut. How could that be? Why do you think? How could that be that a person gave up so much, they come here, and here they feel more lost in their Yiddishkeit than in Chutz Laaretz? These things happen all the time, by the way. So if any of you are feeling like, oh my God, he's talking about me, it's like, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about everybody. This is something that, this is a very interesting phase in redemption, in self, in mamash, in this concept of Geula. How do you explain this? Why is it? So the best explanation we have to this is something that we learned a few weeks ago. And that is trying to put clothes that fit your son or your daughter when they were two, and putting it on them when they're four or five, and choking them because there's barely any space for them to breathe. That is the greatest example I think we've seen until now. The clothes that we wore in, or the Kedusha clothes, whatever that means, that fit us in Galut, can't fit us here. It's a next shlav of the mature, of being, of the, of growth, of maturation. So trying to put on what worked once upon a time not only won't fit, but will also choke you. You won't feel like you could breathe. How's that for an explanation, right? Do you remember learning this? Remember we saw this? We touched upon this. This is very, very important. So the shaila, what's the shaila? What's the question that comes out of this? Where do I buy new clothes? Where do I buy new clothes? Huh? Where do I learn how to make new clothes? Right? That's what this is. What's that?
That's why we're here.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. You know, we're all, you see all these stickers in Efrat that are such, they're so good because they make you think about, and I've seen this in other cities as well, Lo chozrim le-shishi le-October. Right? We're not going back to October 6th. So what does that mean on a Pnimi level? What is the Pnimius of that sticker? We're not going back to October 6th. So if we want to just take it to our times to understand this as best as we can, maybe what it means is there was a word that was being used quite often the weeks following Simchas Torah, which was called conceptia, conception. The conception of what we thought we had. I don't know who really thought that. Not many people that I know really, really believed that, but some mamish believed it l'shem shamayim. That conception no longer exists. Yeah, like things like that. But there's a much deeper thing that I want to just speak about for a second. You know what other conception can't be? That the spiritual status of Am Yisrael on October 6th can't go back to being either. Meaning thinking that, forget for a second about all the Yishmaelim that surround us. Even the way we celebrate Yiddishkeit, even the way that we are as from Jews, that can't go back. We can't go back to an October 6th of wherever we were holding. And by the way, as far as I remember, October 6th was fire in a holy way. The Davin, Hoshana Rabbah, right? It's like October 6th. What was October 6th? It was Hoshana Rabbah, right? That means this is so demanding that as high and as holy and as deep as you may have felt on Hoshana Rabbah, lo chozrim lezeh. You can't even go back to that. Because even that wasn't powerful enough. Even that must be that even that conception of what it means to be plugged into holiness, even that wasn't deep enough. What a demand. Where on earth do you buy such clothes? Where do you learn how to make such clothes? New clothes that even tell you that even what you thought was so, even that is not enough, right? Do any of you remember Hoshana Rabbah? Do you remember Leil Hoshana Rabbah, where you were Leil Hoshana Rabbah? The night before, October 5th, now we're going back October 5th at night. There was a woman's gathering in our sukkah, in our home. And I was here with the man up here in the sukkah. And it was such a sweet night, and Bina told me it was such a sweet night also in our sukkah, and just there was so much sweetness and beauty. And yet, it must be that if we're really going to be loyal to that statement, lo chozrim la shishi lo oktober, it also means we don't just not go back to very dangerous conceptions that we could bring in here to our midst, very dangerous people, but that whatever we thought our Yiddishkeit was, we can't go back to that either. That's, to me, much harder to process than a very clear decision about, for instance, like tonight's event in Hebrew about, you know, continuing with working so hard to bring out Avodah Ivrit to the world. That's just a decision that we have to come to with enough critical mass, a buzz, that says we don't go back to that. But the panini of that is something else, like deep down inside, to realize whatever I thought my Yiddishkeit was has to be infinitely deeper. Now, those things have happened many times along our history, where we've had these things of we can't go back to this, we can't go back to this. It's mamash, mamash lo pashut. Now, what happens over here is that when you start to get confused and you're like, I don't understand, it's supposed to be working, and yet it's not, you find yourself, like you said, you're completely lost and savuch, because the order of life now that I'm living is not shayach anymore to my neshama. Meaning, at a certain point, I realize, wait a second, I'm doing everything right. Do you ever have this feeling where you're not doing anything really wrong, you're not in any big fights with anybody, you and God are, for the most part, okay, and yet you feel completely lost. You don't feel it at all at home, and what drives you crazy is that you can't understand why. Can anyone relate to that? That things are relatively okay. It's not that you did anything wrong, which you could then explain and justify why you feel so lost. Parnassa seems to be okay. Relationships seem to be pretty good. Davening is good. You're davening. You're even saying Tehillim. You're part of a chesed crew or whatever. You're doing all these right and holy things. And still inside, you're like, why do I feel so lost? So that's a wake-up call from the neshama that's saying, because you're still wearing old clothes. And at the time, those old clothes were perfect. And they were kadosh. They were holy. They were right. At the time, they were also clean. But you haven't looked down for a second and see they've gotten not only much, bless you, they've gotten not only much smaller on you, but due to you've grown, but they're also shmutzik, which in Yiddish means dirty. They're filthy. They're not matim anymore. So on the matzav of our door, which prophet, and I think about this every time I drive to Tkoa, because he's buried right on the way to Tkoa, it's a really trippy thing. But when you drive from here to Tkoa, and you get to Tzomet T junction, then you make a left towards Tkoa, so if you just would, now there's a roundabout, thank God, that Tzomet, it's a horrible Tzomet, it's a horrible, horrible Tzomet. Now there's a roundabout, but if you basically continued straight for about 1 minute of driving, you get to the grave of the prophet Amos. Amos Hanavi is right there. So we're going to learn a few psukim now, because Amos Hanavi described the situation of our door. And you know this because of, well, today's generation knows it because of Yishai Ribo. The older generation knew it because of Reb Shlomo Karbach's nigun for it, the most beautiful nigun in the world. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem elokim. Days are coming. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem elokim. Days are coming. Ve'ishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. And I'll put a hunger in the land. Lo ra'av la'lechem ve'lo tzama la'mayim. The hunger won't be for bread, and the thirst won't be for water. But we'll be so thirsty and so hungry. For what? Ki im lishmoa et divrei Hashem. To hear the words of God. That's going to be the hunger.
So hungry.
Huh?
So hungry.
So hungry. So hunger. So thirst. V'na'u miyam ad yam mitzafon v'ad mizrach. They'll be traveling from... from the river to the sea. Umitzafon ve'ad. It felt so good to say that statement in this context, right? No? I just realized it now. Umitzafon ve'ad mizrach yeshotet. And from all corners, people are going to be leshotet. You know, leshotet means to wander. We're wandering, levakesh et dvar Hashem, to look for the word of God, ve'lo yimtze'u, and they won't find it. Bayom ha'u titalafna ha'betulot ha'yafot v'bachorim batzama. And the young ones of that generation will faint because of their thirst. Now, spiritually speaking, that means there's going to be a complete, not just decline, but the word here, like you used over here, about tit alafna, lehit alef means to faint. That means there's going to be a whole generation that's going to be looking, they're going to be searching, and no one's going to give over them to the word of God. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Are there no shuls, schools, yeshivas, midrashot in Eretz Yisrael?
So,
more than ever before. More than ever before. And this is where it gets again very difficult for some of us to hear this, but it explains to us how these this prophecy, they're coming and they're asking for the word of God. What does that mean that they're asking for the word of God? What do you think that means when someone on the level of Amos Hanavi is coming and asking for Dvar Hashem? What do you think that means? What are they asking for?
Clarity.
Tell me what I should do in this world. Tell me what your word God means in the deepest, deepest depths. Right? In the deepest depths, tell me how the Torah is relevant to my life in the deepest depths. Tell me about all the shirim I go to, all the parshas I learn, all the questions my kids come home and ask me, tests, because they're tests. And I get nervous again and open Google to get quick answers to show them I know what they're asking me. Tell me how to give over to them how what they're learning is relevant to their lives. And he says over here, ve'lo yimtze'u. And people won't be able to find it. Ve'lo yimtze'u. So how do we understand this? What's missing, Chavra? What do you think is missing? How could there be all these places that aren't providing for people what they're looking for? What do you think?
So depth. A lot of these places, it's just rote. How many Latin can I learn? How many of this? And there's no pnimi. There's no connecting.
Can't anyone hear what I'm really asking for, right? That's basically the cry. That's the cry of the generation. Can't you hear what I'm really asking for? It's not internalized, but that's really what is being said beneath the breath. Can't anyone hear what I'm actually asking for? I told you this story a few times, the night that Reb Nachman became Rebbe, right? Do you remember this story? The night that Rabbi Nachman of Breslover became Rebbe? It was when he got married, and Rabbi Nachman got married at 13. And at his wedding, he asked a bunch of people that were there, what are you doing here? And each person answered, I'm from the side of your Kala, or I'm from your father's side, we're distant relatives. Or everyone asked a different... Everyone answered a different question, different way. But there was one guy, one little tzaddik, I think his name was Reb Shimon, and he understood what Rabbi Nachman was asking. Rabbi Nachman was asking, what are you doing here, right? And this yid said, I've been waiting my whole life for someone to ask me that question in a way that would want me to want to know so deeply, what am I doing here? And then that night, that week, he became his Rebbe, and that was the first time they started learning. And Rabbi Nachman became Rebbe based on the question, someone hearing the question, what am I doing here? What am I really doing here? And I hope and pray that through these shiurim on Geula and all these things, we're addressing that question of, what are we really doing here? Aside from just living here and establishing our roots here, what are we be'emet doing here? Now, if you see the footnote Kafchet, I was debating whether to do this or not because it's Rav Kook, and it's Rav Kook inside, which is always very challenging. But I think with all the everything we said right now was just a hakdama to learn some words of Rav Kook inside. Are you up for it?
Yeah.
You may regret it. Look at Kafchet. Okay, this is from Orot Atchia, the lights of resurrection. Do you see on the bottom of the page, Kafchet?
No.
It's on page Kuf Mem Daled, Ot Kafchet. This is really, really out there. מפני שהציור של גדולת האור האלוקי, the visualization of how great the godly light is, הוא גדול מאוד. It's a very big visualization. בפנימיות הנשמות של דור האחרון של עקבד למשיחה. The last generation, the ones that are on the heels of Mashiach coming into the world, when you ask them in your heart of hearts, what's God? The picture that they draw is massively bigger than any previous generation that was asked the question, draw me a picture of God. How's that so far? Chevra, I need to know if you're with me, like, because if not, I don't want to move forward. Do you understand what Rav Kook just said over here? I'm going to say it again. If you took a person in the 1700s, a holy yidla, and you said, give me a picture, give me a visualization of the Ribono Shel Olam, right? They'd give a very, it's very, it would be very holy, but it would be a very small image, chalila, not really, but a tziur, like a visualization of how big God is. It wouldn't be so big. How do we know we're on the coattails of Mashiach? Because the neshamas in the last generations, before Mashiach is coming, their concept of God is so much bigger than whatever came before them. Now, isn't that a beautiful thing? What do you think? Is that a beautiful thing? That's gorgeous. Do you know how difficult that is to live with that? You ever meet people that they're so distraught over what they've been exposed to in the world of Kedusha? Meaning, they're so distraught because they don't know what to do with all the beauty and visions that they've seen. They don't know what to do with it in this world. And they feel lost. And they feel not connected. They feel like they can't be understood. That can't be understood. Yeah. You want to tell us about this?
I think that somebody who has high spiritual experiences and then come down to the world and then you want to integrate it into your life and you try to explain it to somebody, they won't understand. So you keep it to yourself. So you feel misunderstood. So it's very frustrating because the regular world doesn't want to hear it because right. That pushes them and also to desire that and all that. So it's a question is to say anything or not to say anything. So I think that's the challenge of this door, Bechlal, is a very searching door. I think that, and it's the gap, the par between, you know, what's conventional, normal, and that searching.
Right. So misunderstood would be a good, we'd stick with that word. So Rav Kook says this whole door, this whole generation, that's mamish ushering in the coming of Mashiach, their experiences of when they close their eyes and think of Hashem is massively greater than whatever their parents went through and whatever their grandparents went through. But that's beautiful, and it's also zekashe. It's hard. It's heavy. A lot because of what you're saying, Dalia, and more. Anyone else have any? I mean, the truth is, I'm sure, I'm looking around the room, I know that many people have been there. Maybe they're there right now in that place. It's almost, it's like basically living in a state of the day after Purim, always. Right? Like looking at people that on Purim you were ready to profess your deepest, most holiest, purest love for. Right? And then you're still there the day after Purim, but for them it's already, yeah, no, that was just Purim. We can come back to the real world, right? So let's say these words again on the bottom. Mipnei sheatziur shel gdulat haor eloki hu gadol meod bipnimiyut haneshamot shel dor haacharon shel ikva lemashicha. To such an extent, b'mida kazo, she'en lahem adayin histaglut ech lehanhig et hachayim hamamashiyim al pi godel elyon kazeh. What's their problem that they have? How do I conduct my life? How do I lead my life with these experiences that I've had, with these spiritual and godly revelations I've had, how do I fit that into the world that I'm living in? So what happens when you don't give them some type of a derech? What to do with these experiences? Rav Kook says, mitoch kach ba hakfira. Unfortunately, sometimes, what does this lead to? heresy. Why? Well, how could this be? How could this lead to heresy? What do you think? How could such a thing here, how could such a high level of life and not knowing what to do with it eventually lead a person to heresy, to kfira?
Because I think it's, then they see what she was talking about, it, the regular Torah world is so rational or logical and can't...
Shallow.
And shallow.
Yeah.
They say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with Torah and mitzvot because of that.
Because if this is it... Right, then this will never be a vessel that fills, that's big enough to fill the light that I'm containing. So therefore, I say, this is shtuyot. Mm-hmm. This is shtuyot.
Could there also be an element of fear? Because they're seeing something that they know their parents and see their grandparents. So, like, is something wrong with me? And I, you know.
Could be. Nachon?
And that just... Some clothes in even more, not
want to
share.
Right. And then I started davening to Hashem, please take all these great experiences away from me. Let me just be that normal person. Don't give me the highs, don't give me the lows. It's fine. I just don't, because I feel weird. I feel different. I don't want to feel different. I want to feel normal. Nachon. Mitoch kach, again, third line, baha kfira ve'ita hadildul aruchani. And the spiritual dwindling down, hadomeh lechurban she'anu ro'im bedoreinu. We come and it dwindles down to a churban that we see in our generation. You know, I'm looking again at the chevre that are protesting now again with such passion and such a commitment to something that in its root of roots is for sure coming from something holy. That has to do with their shayachut to Eretz Yisrael. But because in the core, no one ever gave these people any type of understanding of what they're actually feeling deep down inside, it dwindles down to what seems to be like a big churban in Ma'am. Does anyone know what I'm referring to? Mm-hmm. Or everyone stopped watching the news a long time ago. Bezrat Hashem. No? Yeah. It's a very strange... Huh?
Over the army?
No. Back to this stuff, yeah. Back to these things, it's the most bizarre thing in the world. Rav Kook is saying, in its origins, something big was erupting in these neshamas. Like, you never saw such a generation of people fighting for what they feel is their country. There was never such a thing like this. What's that?
They need to put that fire somewhere.
So, we didn't give them vessels to put their fire in the right place, so where are they taking it to? This world called... The Kodesh Kodashim, democracy, what they think democracy is. Mamash muzar, but it's not so muzar. Aval derech ha-refu'ah, but Rav Kook says, but now let's think of ways of healing. Derech ha-refu'ah, hirak leharbot kilim. Healing is really all about making more and more vessels available. Hezberot v'tochniot. Hasbara. You know that word, hasbara? You know what hasbara means in today's day and age? How do you say hasbara in English?
PR.
Advocacy, right? Yeah. Some type of a PR. Hamo'ilim lasul drachim bishvil histaglut ma'asit al pi ha'orot ayoter elyonot. A little bit of hard Hebrew. I'm going to try to break this down. Rav Kook says, what are you offering? You gotta offer something that'll be a vessel. It'll be like a landing, a soft landing for people that are experiencing such high highs that doesn't make them feel weird, strange, and alone, but actually empowers them to figure out what to do with their revelations. Now, we're going to see exactly what that is for today's day and age. But Rav Kook says we must provide for people a way for them to not feel like freaks when they reach such high heights. We gotta give them a way to make them feel that someone's waiting for them, that someone understands them, and that someone is here to help them cultivate all that's happening in their neshama right now. Umitam ze ba gam ken hadrisha hagdola lecherut haruach veimutz haguf. So Rav Kook says, with this comes a demand, a great demand, for the freedom of the spirit and also the courageousness of the body. Ki rak ruach chazak ve'amitz ve'guf bari ve'etan. It's both a free spirit and a healthy and strong body physically. Yuchlu lehachil betocham b'li za'azua et ha'arot ha'yoter elyonot ve'la'amod b'ma'amad ha'etaniyut. He keeps on using this word Eitan. Some of you have kids with the name Eitan. Who was the original Eitan? It was called Eitan. Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, yes. Avat Eitan Adonenu. The strong, the solid. Eitan means strength. בלי זעזוע התארות היותר לינות ולעמוד מעמד האיתניות הראוי לחיים פועלים מלאים עוז של יצירה. Rav Kook says, if we want to live a life of being creative, of having yetzira, we need a free spirit and a healthy body. Both together are the things that can will enable us to conduct our lives in the manner that we really want to be creative with all this neshama hunger that's happening, to be creative, to do something with it. You know, so many people that I meet all the time, either they're very strong, but they're soul is shvach, and then you have chevra that are mamish, their soul's on fire, but they're not physically there altogether. In both situations, what ends up happening is that creativity does not happen. Being creative doesn't take place. Rav Kook says, in order to be creative, to do something with this ruach hadashav geula, we need both. We need them both to be together in order to do something with what's going on inside of us.
So he was the first that
said,
because that's how he could see it.
He saw that, exactly. He saw that in them, nachon?
Right.
Nachon? But he also admired so much, you know, the Emnesdiker really, he's like, that's why you can't box him, because he saw that, wait a second, they have that, and they have that. If we bridge this gap together, what we will do is produce the most creative voice, sound, and school of thought for the door of Mashiach. And we're still not there yet. With all the schools, yeshivas, and everything that we have, it still hasn't happened yet.
Is it like a war between the body and the soul?
Of course, all the time. It's a war between the body and the soul. And it has to be b'shalom. It has to be a peace between the body and the soul in order to do anything with the light that's coming down right now. It has to be both. Okay, we're two more lines, and we'll say we made it through a piece of Rav Kook, which is very special. Ulehamshich mitochan hamshachot shel orchot chaim mitoch tziruf pnimi shekol elu ha'achanot drushot hen letshuva shlema ha'omedet achar kotleinu. Rav Kook says, you know what's about to happen? We're all, the Am, is going to go through a process called tshuva shlema. But in order to go through a process called tshuva shlema, I need to learn how to combine both worlds of being physically solid and healthy together with a spirit that's on fire, that wants more and more of to listen to its neshama. When we have that together, you struck gold. And that's what this door is all about. That's what this door is all about. You see, Chavre, if we spent more and more time, I was just learning from a Friday night from one of Rav Kook's top Talmidim, Rav Chailap. He was saying that if we really dedicated a few minutes a day to just learn how to listen to our neshama and what's going on inside, we'd feel so much less lost in this world. We would feel so much more found. If we actually learned how to listen to what we really want, to the Lo Ra'av La'lechem V'lo Tzama La'mayim Kim Lishmoa Dvar Hashem, if we knew how to listen to Amos Hanavi's words, then we would feel so much more aligned with who we are and less lost in this world. So he continues back on the top over here. Hapar, beneath Amos Hanavi's words. Hapar ben achipus shel haneshama achar komat chaim chadasha uben atodaa ushar kochot hachaim sha'adayim enam mevinim zot yachol lavo lidei bitui bekama tzurot. You know what the word par means? The gap. the distance, the gap. The gap between two points that we're going to speak about manifests in a few ways. The gap between knowing that something's brewing inside to not being able to figure out how to fit that into my life manifests in a few ways. Be'ofen echad, hadavar yavol lidei bitui bechoser cheshek v'chiyut klepei seder ha'chaim ha'murgal. One way that it shows up, meaning this gap shows me, like the gap basically starts to control my life, and is that I have no cheshek for, why should I do anything? You know, this apathy. Like, why should I even bother doing anything? It's all shtuyot. That's one way that this gap comes and does what it does. Uleitim yitgaber hadavar ad kedei me'isa verichuk amok vaznachat seder ha'chaim hazeh. Sometimes it's such a strong voice, that voice that says, why should I do anything? It's all either all or nothing, can bring me to such a neglect of everything about this world. I've seen people like this. Mamash, they've experienced such light, and they have no idea what to do with it. And they don't feel like anyone understands them. So they say, in light of the light that I've experienced, why should I bother dealing with anything that has to do with this world? And they end up in such self-neglect. They end up looking like the biggest nebuchs and schleppers. But if you have good eyes, you realize it all originated in a place where they tasted something so deep and didn't know what to do with it. That's how, like, when Reb Shlomo would say, you never know. It's like, you never know. You may see the biggest schlepper in the world in front of you. What happened to him? Well, he one time tasted Shabbos. For real. He tasted Shabbos. And his parents, his siblings, his rebbeim, his friends, none of them could relate to what he was going through. And he felt alone and more alone and distance till he said, why should I even bother trying to understand what I went through? Look where it got me to. And they end up with such self-neglect, feeling like no one can ever understand, you know, who they are. It's hopeless. We shelo neda mize. Upeamim rabot lo yeda ha'adam klal et ha'tnua chiyuvit. Quite often, what ends up happening is that when there's this gap, I feel something inside. I don't feel aligned, but I don't understand that it's really my neshama is asking for something new. It doesn't mean everything is bad. It just means I need something new. Shenishmato mevakeshet koma chadasha. The soul is asking for another level of kedusha. V'chol tnuat nafsho titbate rak bishlilat. Next page, ma'amado ha'havayi. That means the movement of my soul only is expressed by, how do you say shlilat, to revoke? Is that the right word in English? Shlilat rishayon, you ever get negate wherever I am right now? What is he saying over here? Sometimes, like, let's go back to the mashal of a person that's wearing clothes that fit them when they were much younger. Kamuvan, I'm talking about when we actually physically grow normally and healthy. Okay, not the weird stuff where we get to in our mind that things don't fit us when we were 25 and to 35. I'm talking about like 2 to 7, where literally you're physically getting taller and bigger, and you're developing naturally, doesn't fit anymore. Some people feel choked, and they're like, ugh, this is so uncomfortable. I wish I didn't even get here, chas v'shalom. Some are saying, no, this is good that you feel choked, because if you felt comfortable in the same clothes from a few years before, what does that say about you? What does that say about you? The problem is we don't understand, we can't hear ourselves, that really our neshama is saying, It's good that I feel choked. Just let's buy new clothes. This is good. You shouldn't feel the same. None of us should feel the same. None of us should feel like we go to the same shiur, learning the same stuff, feeling at home, it's like, oh, it still works for me. That's not a good thing. That's stagnance. That's not a good thing. If you still connect to the same exact Torah as you learned 5 years ago, after what we've been through going in this land, and you're comfortable and safe there, it's sad. If you know you need more, don't belittle who you were back then. Just be like, that was 2, and now I'm 5, or now I'm 7. That's okay. That's the purpose. That's the plan. That's the goal. Le'itim yavo adavar, top line, lidei bitui benitzanim shel tnuah chiyuvit. Sometimes you may have positive moments of saying, oh, I like this. Yachush ha'adam shebeseter levavo hu mevakesh mashu v'yatchil b'chipus acharav. And then in the depths of my heart, I'll know that I'm asking for something and I'll start searching for something. Ach yeze chipus koev, but it will be a very painful search. Ki ha'par ben ma'aviyah shel ha'neshama u'ben madragat ha'chaim ba'ove gadol kol kach עד שכל מושגי המחשבה הנשאבים מהמוכר והמורגל כלל לא יכולים לרדת לעומק בקשת הלב הפנימי ולסרטט לו אפיקים להוצאתו אל הפועל. Why will this search be so painful? Because the gap, the distance between what the neshama is longing for to where life is right now, the gap is so big. That all the things that I'm accustomed to, all the things that I understand, nothing can really satiate what I'm looking for, and then I feel desperate. And I go into yeush, I go into despair, because I know that what my soul wants is nowhere near what my life is right now. So why would we end the shiur on such a depressing note right now? I'll tell you why. We need to get hungrier. We need to be more hungry. We have to be less and less satisfied with all the things that work for us, because there's a new light that's coming upon us right now that I know it feels like we're very tired and very dragged out and schlepped out. But this is now where it counts the most. How much hungrier could I be now than what I was a few months ago? Than I definitely where I was 6 months ago, but even 3 months ago. You understand? To come out of this war, to finish the job, and to come out of the war, and for my neshama to feel aligned with where Am Yisrael is, and where the whole world is right now, the Torah we've learned until now won't be enough. What we need to tap into, like you see the topic of the next sentence is, Leikanes Leimkei HaTorah. Each of us have to learn Pnimius HaTorah, in order to make that gap, which each of us feel, in order not just to bridge the gap, but to make that gap go away. Learning secrets of Torah, like Rav Kook will tell us next week, learning the pnimius of Torah and what that means, makes me feel less crazy in this world. It got me to feel a little bit crazy, but the hunger and the demand and the ratzon for it, again, bridges the gap, and then I realize there's no gap. The way I feel about Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is the way that I live my life, is the way that I'm learning Torah. Not in a way that's going to make me look like a freak. Not in a way that's going to make me lose all my friends. Lahefech. In a way that illuminates so much that everyone's going to want to join and be part of it. That is entering the orchard of Pnimius HaTorah. Meaning, if we said before, in the beginning of Shir, that the only way for us to stay focused is by learning Torah, make no mistake about it. I'm not talking about learning the type of Torah we've been learning for many, many years. The world, not just here. I'm saying I could learn all the psukim again, that talk about that Hashem gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu and to Yitzchak Avinu and to Yaakov Avinu. You think that if I quote those psukim to my children, that's going to satisfy their hunger of feeling connected to Eretz Yisrael today? En sikui. There's not a chance. They want and need more, and so do we. And therefore, we're trying to learn here how to live a life that's from the pnimius, from inside out and not outside in. And sometimes the journey, you know, we're on Shpilk is like, yeah, say something already. But the way to hear what he's saying and what any of the Sfarim of Pnimi are saying is if we learn to get some quiet again and to daven over this and to realize that I must listen to my neshama, because my neshama has been crying for 6 months. Now I need to listen to it even when it's not crying, when it's just being in its natural state of being. What is it saying? It's saying to me, you deserve more. You deserve to have the right clothes. You deserve it. This is the generation ushering in the coming of the Mashiach. It makes sense that you feel so misplaced and lonely, but you don't have to stay misplaced and lonely forever. There's a world that's waiting for you, and that world is called Pnimius HaTorah. That's what that world is called. So Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll continue right over here, Leinkanes Leimkei HaTorah, and Daf Kuf Mem Hei, next week, Bezrat Hashem. Right, it should be a week of Geula, a week of nothing short of redemption.